The text verse for the sermon this morning comes from verse 15. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Members of this congregation, people of Iskalde, do you love God? If you love God, you will feed his sheep. If you love God, you will show this love by your actions of everyday life. Because this is what Jesus asked Peter. Jesus said to Peter, if he truly loves him, his love must be reflected through his everyday actions of mercy, love, and forgiveness and outreach. But let's start at the beginning. John is the only gospel that tells us about Jesus' appearance at the Sea of Tiberias, as it was called by the Romans. The Jews called it the Lake of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. Jesus appeared to 7 disciples, and they were not having any luck catching some fish. To them, it was not the best time for Jesus to appear. The disciples seemed to continue with their lives after the burial of Jesus by doing what they did before. They became followers of Jesus. Most of them were fishers by trade, and most probably lived around the Sea of Galilee. And in those days, they usually caught their fish during the night to sell it during the morning. So it was early morning after a night out on the boat without catching any fish to eat or to sell. Peter was not even properly dressed. Some translations say he was naked. He only had his inner garment on, and to the Jews, that would have been considered as being naked. His outer garment would be wrapped around his waist or tucked under his belt. So these disciples must have been frustrated, wet, cold, and worried. And I'm sure they were quite intrigued when this stranger from the shore told them to throw their nets on the right side of the wee boat. Even more so when his words became true and they caught more fish than they could handle. Then they realized, but this stranger must be Jesus, because according to the Jewish tradition, it's God who controls the catching of fish. And then when Peter realizes this, he jumps into the water, because 100 meters was too far for him to have walked. He actually climbed in the cold water, endangered his life, and swam to Jesus. And when all the disciples were at the shore, Jesus was waiting for them with a fire, a bread, and fish, the traditional meal of the first century Jews. John says they caught 153 fishes. I did not think they counted it. In those days, they would heighten the miracle stories by means of a hyperbole. The point is, they caught more fish than they could eat or handle themselves. And Jesus is the host. He is passing out the bread and the fish. He is the one who lets them to eat. And they were sure now, this must be Jesus. Because only God can overpower death. But then the story takes another turn. I think Peter must have felt a tinge of guilt. After all, it was he who said he would do anything for Jesus. And then He lied 3 times about his involvement with Jesus. And therefore it's not strange that he swims to Jesus. It is as if he wanted to say, sorry, I'm sorry for my lies. He wanted to show Jesus his commitment and loyalty. And maybe this is the reason why Jesus questioned him about his true motives, about his love and dedication. It's no coincidence that Jesus asks Peter also 3 times if he really loved him. Because 3 times Peter lied about his involvement with Jesus. And now 3 times Jesus asks him the same thing over and over again. And every time he answers, yes, you know I love you. Maybe this can also refer to an old Jewish custom whereby a woman who wanted to convert to Judaism could become a Jew after she was turned down by the temple 3 times. After the 3rd time, if she came back, the priest would say, you are a Jew now. Jesus says to Peter the same thing. But he didn't say to him, you are a Jew now. He says, you can be my follower. He actually says, follow me. So Jesus, forgiving. Jesus did not ponder on the past. But Jesus wanted Peter to know, to follow him, to love him, will not be easy. He must know the consequences. Peter is facing the consequences of what it means to be a disciple. What it means to change your life. Jesus wanted him to know to follow Jesus will be very hard. It will mean sacrifice. And this changed Peter. It changed his life forever and ever, from being confident to being emotional, to say to Jesus, I'm really hurt now. Why are you asking me all these questions? It felt to him that Jesus did not believe him. But actually, Jesus was just preparing him for his life of sacrifice, his life of becoming a disciple, a true follower of Jesus. And I guess that Jesus was trying to tell Peter and us, it's one thing to say that you love God, but quite another to really show this love through your everyday actions. It's one thing to jump off the wee boat and go to Jesus, but quite another thing to really follow Jesus every moment of every day. It's a lifestyle of commitment, hard work and sacrifice to really follow Jesus. To love Jesus, to love God, is to journey with him every moment of every day. It means to take care of everyone around you, even the ones that you despise, the ones that you do not like, or may I say, even the ones you hate. God's love is not a passing feeling. No, Jesus shows this forgiving love to Peter by not hammering on the past, by not telling him how bad he's been for lying 3 times. No, Jesus does not care about the past. Jesus focuses on the present and the future. Jesus cares about Peter. He makes sure Peter knows what lies ahead. He changed this man. Yes, he gave him new direction and hope for the future. And this is exactly the point of this passage. God is totally different from us. God does not ponder on our past. He removed our past. Our past of sins and transgressions through His merciful death on the cross. His love is unconditional despite the fact that you and I often take this love of God and excludes people. He judges us differently. He doesn't care about our money, our status, or our stance in society. He worries about our inner feelings. He looks into our hearts. He knows our attitudes. And He wants us to change. He includes everyone in His plan of grace. And He expects us to do the same. No, He doesn't expect us. He orders us as followers to do the same. We must love one another as He loved us. God touches our realities with His unconditional love. He makes us aware every moment of every day of our own brokenness, our toils, and our struggles. He's saying to us every moment of every day that we are fragile. Yes, we are vulnerable. We need Him. But He also uses us, ordinary people like you and me, to go out and take this love to the world, to care for the poor, the sick, the downtrodden, everyone that is vulnerable, everyone that is in need of God's presence. And He gives us the means to help others despite our own financial difficulties. Did you think what really happened in Haiti? To think in a credit crunch where every second person on the telly would come up and say, "There's no money left." And then this happened in Haiti. And all of a sudden, the world were there. Everyone helped them. Millions and millions of money. This didn't come. This didn't fall out of the air. It is God. God who enabled the world to jump into action and help these people. Yes, God uses all sorts of methods to awaken our conscience, to take care of people that is different from us. He even uses His church on earth to be there when no one else is. And when this happens, when God touches our reality with His unconditional love, there's happiness and joy. Joy that is followed by love. But not love as the world says. It's not a passing feeling that goes away. Love, that's a responsibility, a commitment, a choice to sacrifice, to give without expecting anything back. We must show this love. Because if we do not show this joyful love of God's mercy, the world would not know that God appeared to us as the risen Lord. Yes, then the world will not know that in our brokenness, in our struggles, in our pain, and in our loving fellowship, God is here. I once heard an amazing story of a mother who I think was quite a tough, and her daughter who were walking down the street. This wee lassie saw a very dirty beggar sitting on the pavement. She immediately took her hand out of her mother's and she ran to this filthy beggar. And then she hugged him and wished him a pleasant day. To her mother's utterly shock, she replied, "Well, if Jesus loves him, so do I." May we go from this place today and shout from the rooftops, "The risen Lord appeared to us too. He changed our lives forever and ever, from utter despair to a living hope." Amen.